Hey, this is Amber for another edition of the Leading Hearts Instant Writers Podcast, and we are here with our March cover model, Michaela Fay. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
We are actually here in the wild, in the Crickets Branson tripping. Mountains, and it is very, it's this, I have a sense this is going to be a very tranquil interview.
Good.
Well, Michaela, you've had a big year.
Yes.
You tried out for Idol.
Mm-hmm.
And you went through that whole process, and then you came out a little bit disappointed, but so much has happened since then.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your journey after Idol.
Well, after Idol, the way it kind of unfolded was it kind of fell in my lap, and so I prayed a lot about it and asked God a lot about it, and I struggled a little bit on my purpose being there or mm-hmm. what I was supposed to get from it, and it really wasn't until the end that I really knew that it was just something that God kind of knew would always be in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I've done competitions my whole life, just city ones, state ones, nationwide mm-hmm. ones. And I think that the thought would always have been there, you know, like, mm-hmm. well, could I have won? Could I have made it far if I ever did it? And it would always mm-hmm. be there. So kind of like he just blessed me with that because he's good like that. And he's like, just go ahead, have fun, you know, yes. do it. And, you know, when you're done, you're done. And so now I know. Now I know what it's about. I know what it's like. And
yeah.
Since then, it's kind of like it doesn't stop once you stop.
Yeah.
Because then you're promoting it 6 months after. It doesn't come on until February. We were done in October.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this elongated process that you don't really expect. And it was a bit tiring at mm-hmm. times, just because, you know, people would ask questions and say and stuff. And then I was trying to deal with it myself.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, it was fun. You know, stay tuned. And you know, so that was a lot to deal with, but it was also really awesome because I got to talk to a lot of people I wouldn't have gotten to talk to before about
yeah.
things, because they would just come up and ask, and then I could just tell my story to them and
yeah.
share with them my thoughts and opinions about it and what I learned from it and how I grew from it. And so that was yes. probably the best part.
Well, you've been in a lot of professional competitions.
Yeah.
And tell us about the recent competition in your song, Freebird.
The recent competition I did was actually, it was a writing competition based off of another organization that was put on called 7 Days of Change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just about, you know, racial equality, religious equality, just equality around the world in all aspects. The competition was to write a song based upon that. And so I just kind of took it and ran with it. And I use a lot of imagery and a lot of metaphors in my songs. And so Freebird is just about this bird who's caged.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gets his voice taken from him and is kept in this cage. And it's just me asking him, like, why are you there? Like,
mm-hmm.
who told you you had to be there? Did they tell you that you were just dreaming?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the world can be deceiving. Like, they've switched everything on us. They've told us a lie our whole lives. We're meant to fly.
Yes.
So that's, like, the truth of it. And then bringing that forward. And then I guess the motto of the whole event was make a ripple, change the world. And so at mm-hmm. the end of my song, it's let the wind of your wings cause the waters to ripple and land on distant shores. And it's all about once you've found the change in yourself
mm-hmm.
to go and be who you're meant to be and the purpose that you're supposed to live in, then causing others to do that and having such a power and a force behind it that
yeah.
it makes ripples and it changes the world.
What's one of the biggest lessons you've learned as you've come through that professional marketplace, and how has that affected your songwriting?
I've learned a lot. I've learned that people do it all different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people perform. Some people have a lot of heart behind their performance. Some of it is just show.
Mm-hmm.
And just really meeting people that I can look up to in that way. And I've really been able to craft the kind of artist that I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just come to kind of realize that, like, I'm a person who cares about the performance side of things, but then I'm also the person who cares about the person after the performance.
Yeah.
And I want to meet with them one-on-one, and I want to get to know them. And the coolest part about the songwriting competition that I did was when I got to perform it. It was put on by a mother whose son was shot. What was really cool was I saw the little boy's little brother on the front row singing every word of my song.
Wow.
And so that's the thing that does it for me, is seeing that, like, he just took it in and he believes it as truth. And
yes.
he's used that and he knows it and he's memorized it. So just, I guess, finding artists that do that for me and that I know that from, and that way I can live that out, just knowing the difference that it is a performance, but then also it changes people.
Yeah.
So writing songs like This Is Not Your End, which is about a song that just speaks against suicide, and it's not your end that you think it is. You know, there's more to your life. There's a purpose. Like, bring
yeah.
others around you. Let them in so they can lift you up. And just really finding the purpose behind what you're doing, or yeah. else it's really worth nothing.
I know that a lot of what you do is leading worship at your church. Mm-hmm. How do you translate from going from artist, professional music artist, recording a song, to actually going to that worship place? What do you see the challenges of those two different dynamics in your career?
There was never really a separation for me, which mm-hmm. I'm lucky because, you know, you see a lot of people who grow up only playing guitar and then they become a vocalist, and mm-hmm. it's hard for them to, you know, only be a vocalist because they have that comfort of the guitar. It's kind of the same thing with performing and worship leading, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, if I only did performing, it would be kind of awkward for me to do that transition. But because I've kind of grown up doing both, it's a lot easier for me to kind of make the switch.
Yes.
Obviously, with performing, you say the words that you have written, and it's all kind of more choreographed. Yes. But it still makes an impact. But with worship leading, it's a lot less me and a lot more God.
Yeah.
And He has words to say, and so He says them, and they're not mine necessarily. And I think mm-hmm. the biggest thing that I've learned in worship leading from one of my mentors is that you have to be diligent. Like, when you call yourself a worship leader, you are a leader. And mm-hmm. when you get there on Sunday morning, you're supposed to take people where you've already been.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't just come out and sing it for the first time. Like, you really have to worship through your set. You have to memorize the songs and the lyrics and what they mean. You have to know the truth behind them. You have to worship it out in your own time so that you can then say, here, come look at what I found. Come look at where I've been with God. I want you to come with me. And that's the whole point of leading.
Yes.
In both ways, you're telling a story, but one is all for God and pointing back to Him, and one is more just telling a story to the person,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be.
Who are some of the most influential mentors in your life that have spoken to you as you've grown up in music?
Well, obviously my mom. Just growing up, I would go with her to voice lessons that she would do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was like a girls group that she taught voice lessons to, and like a couple other people, and just growing up, and I may not have been listening, but subconsciously I was, and mm-hmm. Just little things that she's always said that I've held on to, like muscles have memory, you mm-hmm. know, they memorize what you do, you have to make them memorize it, like things like that,
mm-hmm.
about breathing, about, you know, even in my songwriting, like she was really the person who pushed me to write songs, you
yes.
know, because I didn't really write songs. I didn't really play piano.
Wow.
You know, I didn't do those things. So she's really the person who pushed that. And your mom's always your biggest fan.
Yes.
You know, and so she's done a good job in that and pushing me in that. Obviously, my dad, too. Not really a mentor, but more a cheerleader.
He's
always kind of there. I'd say, obviously, Pastor Josh and Leah Wesley,
mm-hmm.
who I, a couple years ago, I did fine arts, national fine arts competition
yes.
with them through their church. And I remember him just really, really just coaching me. I never had vocal coaching until a few years ago. And I went down there for a summer, and he just, oh gosh, he just really, really made my voice into something I could never have done on my own.
Wow.
But taking what he taught me and applying it, the year that I won the fine arts competition, I would practice for at least 6 to 7 hours a day in a little music closet on the side
wow.
of the stage. I would sing it over and over. Then he would come in, you know, just coach me in different ways. And he'd come in and say, work on this. And then a few days later, I would fix it. He's like, okay, now let's go even higher. And that really high part on Ocean's, the yeah, yeah. He's like, okay, let's go higher. Let's go 2 notes higher. So, like, he's the one who pushed me and pushed my voice into ways that I never imagined. And it wasn't really to win the competition. It was really just in the long run to show me that I could do something that I never thought I could do.
That must be, for any woman in leadership or in profession, you know, it's so important that we kind of press those uncomfortable mm-hmm. areas to develop into something. Now, as you have grown, how have you seen other people come up and want to have that same mentor type
yeah.
relationship with you?
Well, it happened at the last church that I interned at. There were a lot of girls, obviously, that loved to sing, who wanted to, you know, be superstars, and
mm-hmm.
it was cool because I was still learning
mm-hmm.
What exactly I wanted to be, and it's not really about the spotlight, and
mm-hmm.
I was kind of thinking through that myself, so then I was able to kind of share those thoughts with them and just kind of switch their perspective on it and just help them grow vocally, but also just maturing as a young woman
mm-hmm.
and knowing the difference between just performing and then
mm-hmm.
impacting people, making an impression on people. And since I've been at this church that I'm at now, I've had the really awesome opportunity of mentoring a young girl that, you know, reminds me a lot of myself. But I get to sit down with her, and like 20 minutes of our time is just me asking her how life is. 30 wow. minutes of our time is we go through the songs that she writes, and I go through each line and I say, why did you write that? Was it just a filler? She's like, yeah, it's just a filler. I'm like, okay, well, let's put some real words in there. And then another 30 minutes of our time is me just coaching her vocally.
Yes.
And so it's been cool because there's this process of you are only you are being mentored because you need it. And then there's that bridge of, okay, you're being mentored and you're mentoring others.
Yes.
Now you're teaching what you're learning, but you're also learning at the same time. And then it's to kind of the point to where I feel like I'm able to just kind of teach now and mentor now. And, you know, you kind of feel that release. They kind of like let you go and push you off a little bit, and you can still always go back to them. But now it's just kind of transferred to me kind of pouring into other people's lives and teaching them everything that I've learned.
A lot of people talk about, you know, goals, ambitions, where you want to see yourself. Where do you want to see yourself in 10 years besides married, which she's engaged to be married? You guys make such a cute worship leading couple.
Oh, God.
So having that, your spouse be on the same game with you. But where do you want to see yourself 10 years from now?
I want to see myself, hopefully, by the grace of God, doing kind of like what I've been saying, just writing music that changes people and not just being a person who just performs the music, but being in there, in the community, in people's lives, like with them, rubbing shoulders with them, just getting to know them personally one-on-one and not just singing songs, but singing songs that mean something and that propel people forward to do the same thing. So always just making an impact, always trying to make a difference, always obviously doing what I believe God's will is for me, which is kind of hard to find sometimes, but when he just lets, like, he just let me know, like, whenever I've questioned, he's just put three things in my path and I'm like, okay, this is it. So right now I'm definitely in a season of kind of stepping back and just spending more time with him. The more that I spend time with him, just like the different angles he gives me of him, and he gives me little pieces of him. And then I'm able to write songs based off of that. Like, this whole like whirlwind of what God's grace really is. Mm-hmm. And he just shows me that in a matter of months. And then like, I can use that to write songs off of. So always being, never losing the wonder of him. Mm. I know there's a song about that. But never losing that and always digging deeper into him and deeper into his word so that I can then reflect that in my music.
So awesome. Thank you so much, Michaela, for hanging out with us today. Mm-hmm. And you can check out Michaela Faith on her Facebook page. We're going to add a link at the bottom here for the Free Bird. It's an amazing song. You gotta watch it. So we'll put the link at the bottom of this podcast. And be sure to check out Michaela's interview that showed up last March. It's digitally online accessible. She's the cover of this issue. So check it out on Aishi.com, or you go to leadinghearts.com, and all that, and that issue's there as well. Until next time, this is Amber.
And Michaela.
And we will be here relaxing for the rest of the night. So have a good day, and we'll see you.